Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Last week, we looked at God's Word, His inspired Word, that His Spirit causes His Word to be living and active. And that when we go to read it, when we go to study it, when we take time to open its pages, that when we try to understand and try to apply things to our life, we miss some things. And the greatest thing is for us to be able to sit and talk to the Holy Spirit who inspired this inerrant Word of God, because He was there. And He can help reveal and help us gain understanding and then help us apply the principles and the life-giving principles that God has for us. And so we talked a little bit about that and how to do that and how to consider when we read the Scripture that we don't just leave it to our own intellect alone, but we allow the Holy Spirit to reveal things to us because He was there and He inspired it and He knows what's going on in our lives. And He knows the will and purpose of God. And so we're not left to read this alone. And so that was part of it. And this week, I don't know that it's a part two, but we could probably call it that. Want us to review one verse, and then we're going to look at a passage in the Old Testament and another verse in the New Testament. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says this: all Scripture is God-breathed, His breath. And it is His Spirit, the Spirit of life. And His Word is living, and it never ends. And it knows no bounds. And what He says one time and its truth is for all time. And so it is living, and it's still relevant, and still is filled with who He is and His life, the life-giving power of God. And so here it says, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're wonderful, but you still need to learn some things. You're wonderful, but you still need to learn some things. His Word is useful and inspired to us to teach us, to rebuke us. There you go. For correcting the person next to you. You're all next to somebody, so it includes all of us. His Word is useful in teaching us, rebuking us, correcting us. His Word is useful in training us in righteousness, right living, right choices, the purpose, the will of God, the wisdom of God. So that all of us may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, every task before us, every decision before us, that we can be thoroughly equipped. That is what His Word has been inspired to do in our lives. Knowing that, I want us to look at a passage in the Old Testament. It's 1 Kings chapter 22. We'll jump into the chapter here at some point, but I'm going to paraphrase some of this to kind of give you a backdrop of what is happening on the scene at that time. King Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came to the king of Israel, King Ahab. And Jehoshaphat says to Ahab, you know, Ramoth-Gilead belongs to us. And yet the king and the people of Aram have been occupying it. Why don't we go and wage war and take that which belongs to us? And so this is what they talked about. And the king of Israel says, Ahab, to Jehoshaphat, he says, if I go to war, will you go with us so that the people of God can once again take dominion in Ramoth-Gilead, which belongs to us? Now, they have been without war against Aram for about 3 years. It was a kind of a time of peace between them, but Aram is occupying a place that belonged to God's people. And so Jehoshaphat replies to Ahab and says, yes, I will go to war with you against the king of Aram over this region of Ramoth-Gilead. And Jehoshaphat says to Ahab, before we go, will you please consult the word of the Lord to find out if we should actually go to war or whether we should refrain from going? And so Ahab gets the word out and brings together about 400 men who were prophets. And he brings them together and they begin to prophesy to Ahab that he should go to war, the Lord will give him victory, and they will conquer Aram and take back Ramoth-Gilead. And so here he is, surrounded with about 400 prophets, all prophesying the same thing. And then Jehoshaphat says to Ahab, do you not have a prophet here that we could consult? And Ahab responds to Jehoshaphat and says, we do. His name is Micaiah. But every time he prophesies concerning my life, the word of the Lord through him to me is never good or favorable. I hate that prophet. And Jehoshaphat says, Ahab, you should not talk like that. And Ahab says, I will send a messenger to go and get him. Micaiah receives the messenger that he is wanted in the presence of the king to come and prophesy whether they should go to war with the ram over Ramoth-Gilead at this time or not. And Micaiah says, I will go. And the messenger warns him. He says, now listen. There's about 400 other prophets, and they are all prophesying that they should go to war and that God will give him victory. So when you get there, can your prophecy please agree with theirs? Micaiah responds and says, I will only prophesy the word of the Lord and what he gives me. And so they make their way. And we'll jump into the story here at verse 16. The king said to him, we're going to jump in at 15. When he arrived, the king asked Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead or shall I refrain? Micaiah says to him, attack and be victorious, he answered, for the Lord will give it into the hands of the king. And the king says to him, how many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? In other words, Micaiah, he sensed that Micaiah was just going through the motions. Yep, go ahead, go to war, God will give you favor. And he says, how many times do I got to tell you to swear to tell me what the Lord is really saying? The king of Israel said, Micaiah answered, verse 17, I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd, and the Lord said to these people, who have no master, let each one go home in peace. In other words, do not go to war. Send your armies, tell them just to go home and live at peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, Ahab to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you that he never prophesies or proclaims the word of the Lord anything good about me, but only bad? Now Micaiah continued to prophesy about what would happen, and that they would not have victory. And so that was the word of the Lord that came to King Ahab. The story goes on, And Ahab decides that he will go to war regardless of the word of the Lord to him that he did not care for. So what his plan was, is he told King Jehoshaphat, we will go to war together, you go ahead and wear your kingly and authoritative robe, you are the king of Judah, show up. Now what I'm going to do, as King Ahab, I am going to disguise myself and not dress as the king. Now as they go out to war, the king of Aram tells, I think it was like 12 of his commanders, says, listen, when we go to war here, I don't want you to waste your time fighting insignificant soldiers. I mean, you know, you have to get your way through, but don't make that your key effort. We want to get the king. And so as the commanders go out and they wage war, they see the kingly uniform. They make their way to Jehoshaphat to seize him and kill him and recognize that it is not Ahab. It's Jehoshaphat. And so they refrain from killing King Jehoshaphat because they're looking for King Ahab. They can't find him. Randomly, an arrow is flung through the air, and you'll see this if you were to read the story. The arrow finds its way in between a seam of the armor and protective gear that King Ahab was wearing, and an arrow pierces him. He is wounded significantly. Some of those around him grab him. They retreat him to a place, prop him up. They continue to battle, and King Ahab dies, and the word spreads, and they lose the war. They lose this battle. This is what I'd like to ask you and I this morning. How is it that you respond to God's word in your life when you don't find it favorable or comfortable or in agreement with your desires or with what you consider to be easy? You see, the word of the Lord came to Ahab, and he found that he didn't like the word of the Lord. He didn't like the prophecy. He had his own desires. He wanted to go and conquer again and continue to make a name for himself and used it under the guise of, well, that land belongs to God's people anyhow. And I have a bunch of voices around me telling me that it's going to be victorious and we should go. And yet the word of the Lord came to him and said, refrain. Do not go. I wonder if at times you and I try to scheme like Ahab, where we try to come up with a plan to work our way around the word of the Lord to us. We work our way around to kind of get our way and still try to appease God as if our relationship with him is still okay and we have an understanding, him and I. You know, what about the places in Scripture where we see commands and we see directives that have been inspired to teach us, to rebuke us, to correct us, to encourage us on what we should do and how we should live and the person we should become. And yet, you know, sometimes it just agitates us. It aggravates us. What about places where it says in the Scripture, bless those who curse you? Well, those who curse you, you kind of want to take some vengeance. You kind of want to say something back. I mean, in philosophy of the Scripture, we understand, yes, bless those who curse you, which is fine by all of us until you put a name and a face to the person who cursed you. Now it gets personal. Now you want them to get what you think should be their portion. What about in moments like that? What about in the moments where God's word says, the measure you use to forgive others, that is the measure God will use to forgive you? Well, God understands that, you know, I've had sins, I've asked forgiveness, but that person who sinned against me, that was really, really bad, and it was worse than anything I've ever done, and God understands if I don't have to forgive them. In philosophy, again, it sounds great until somebody does something that you struggle to forgive them for, and now that party has a name and a face. What about those scriptures? Do we try to work our way around it? Do we try to scheme around it? Where we try to pick out another scripture from somewhere to manipulate it, to pervert it, to that we want to agree with that one now, and that kind of supersedes this one, and now God understands, and we have him over a barrel because he's got to honor his word, we think. We have him over a barrel. And we work it to our own pleasure, that we don't have to change, we don't have to submit, and now I can falsely bring assurance to me that God and I are okay, and I looked up another scripture and I used it to my advantage, and now I can scheme and make my way and get what I want and feel the way I want and have the attitude I want and feel justified, and yet still feel in our minds like we're okay with God. What about those verses? What about living in a society like we do and, it's just commonplace now for people not necessarily to get married but to live together and play house and exercise marital privilege, and it's supposed to be acceptable, and yet the scripture says, do not be involved in fornication. Well, God understands, and, you know, we love each other, and we go through all this stuff, and God is love, and therefore, you know, we have a special understanding, and we're okay. See, what about those verses? How do we deal with those verses that maybe we don't like? How do we deal with the verses that tell us to tithe? Well, that's not one of the, you know, commands necessarily. And after all, you know, and we come up with, you know, I do good works and I tithe my time, therefore I don't have to tithe money. Yeah. Trust me, I heard a lot of them. Well, what about that verse? What about the verse that talks about don't give way to selfish ambition? When we want to promote ourselves or look like we're the big shot in the room, or like say something so that people think we're the smartest person in the room, or we got the greatest and latest insight into whatever is going on, and we just kind of want to promote ourselves and look this. God says, don't give way to selfish ambition. What about verses that say, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord? Well, that's okay when he's being nice and when he does what I want him to, which is rare. We're men, I know. What about that verse? What about the verse, children, obey your parents in the Lord? They don't get it. They're out of touch. They're irrelevant. They went to school back in the dark ages. I mean, it's true. Look at my mom. She's got all kinds of wrinkles. She's really old. You want to know what teenager told me that from this church? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding you. You know, they went to, you know, what they say. Whatever, I hear it all. The old man, he doesn't know. He doesn't get it. He tells me how it was when he went, and he understands. He don't get it. These old-fashioned rules. I know that they have to harp on me and do all this so they can feel like they're being a parent, but they don't get it. I know better. Husbands, what about being like Christ to your wife? What about those verses? What about the verses that say, don't be a busybody on Facebook? It doesn't say on Facebook. It just says, don't be a busybody anywhere. What about that verse? I mean, do you really have to know everybody else's business? I'm not against Facebook. I know the blessings of it. I know the communication. I know the family member, the friend you haven't seen. You're able to, you know, and all of this. And I know it's exciting to let the world know, you know, this picture of yourself or whatever. And it's, yeah, I get it. But, you know, do we don't have to have a spirit of being a busybody anywhere, ever? And because we can do it in the privacy of our life, we can feel like we're getting away with it, but the spirit of being a busybody is still the same. Whether it's going over to so-and-so's house and getting the scoop, or whether you can just do it on the convenience of your device at any time, anywhere. I'm not against Facebook, please. But I am against being a busybody. Only because the Word instructs us. What about that verse? What about the verses that say, don't be involved in gossip or slander? Yeah, but the news is so juicy. And besides, I don't really care for that person all that much. And I just want to help the Holy Spirit expose things in their life that aren't right. He does not need your help. What about those verses? What about the verses that say, you know, crucify yourself, die to yourself? Do we try to scheme around His Word like Ahab around the Word of the Lord to him to try to come up with a scheme and disguise ourselves and disguise who we are as if we're fooling God and still going to kind of be okay with Him and yet carry out our own desires? What about those verses? Die to self. What about verses that talk about do not quench the Holy Spirit's fire? Where the Holy Spirit wants to do something in your life and you're feeling a passion, and if you were to obey Him, you now get concerned that if you do this, other people might think you're fanatical, and so you gotta quench the fire of the Spirit in you. Or the fire is let loose in a service and people are being dramatically moved upon, and to you, you've never seen it, or you call it weird, or you think it's fanatical, or whatever it is. And so you want to quench it. You don't want no part of it. Don't go to that church because they speak in tongues. Well, it's in the Scripture, and Paul talks about it being a gift, and Jesus talked about it being a promise of the Father, but because it's outside of our comfort or our thinking, therefore let's quench it, let's dismiss it, let's sidestep it, let's say it's for another time, it was for something else, and therefore I don't have to be accountable to it. And we've schemed our way around things like this in the Scripture, and we have quenched the Spirit's fire, and yet we wonder, why aren't there more miracles? Well, that's acceptable, but this isn't. Now you and I get to pick and choose out of God's Word what we like, what we're comfortable with, and what we're uncomfortable with. Scheme around it. Use the philosophy. Use your human intellect. Use some teacher from somewhere. Look at what 2 Timothy says in chapter 4. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the Word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct. Rebuke. Encourage. With great patience. With careful instruction. You see, it is not with harshness and beating us with a stick. It's here's the truth and here's the Word of God, and it's for our benefit to to learn and to be rebuked and to be disciplined and corrected, but to be given encouragement and to be given hope and to be given faith to face all that we face in this life. And it's with the spirit of encouragement and with great patience and with careful instructions. That's the spirit of the Word who inspired it, the Spirit of God. It wasn't with God with a big stick in the sky. It's with great patience, careful instruction to encourage, and yes, to rebuke and correct, and all of that God gives through His Word to us. For it says, the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their ears want to hear. It's King Ahab. Give me the 400 prophets or so who will prophesy what I want to hear. Instead of the Word of God coming to him through Micaiah. And then he sidesteps it, works his way around it, schemes, comes up with his own ingenuity and his own plan. How did that work out for him? He was pierced by his own folly. He gathered around him what he wanted to hear to suit his own desire. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, it says, they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths, to philosophies, to stories, to things that sound good. And after all, you know, that came from another Christian, so therefore it must be acceptable. I will tell you that you and I have been guilty in our life somewhere of trying to share some type of encouraging thing that really was not biblical or from the Word of God at all. We like to throw things around, and there's all kinds of examples, but for example, I wrestle and struggle with this, and therefore that must be my thorn in my flesh, like Paul had. I'm glad that you feel you're at the spiritual equality of the Apostle Paul, that God would find it you worthy to give you a thorn. How do you and I respond to the Word of God when it makes us uncomfortable, when we don't like it? It's maybe not the good news we think we want to hear. How do we respond? What is our attitude towards it? I know that this is maybe a hard teaching this morning. But I give account, and I got news for you. So do you. You and I do. Do you remember the place where Jesus was with a lot of his followers, and he gave a couple of teachings, and they said, these are hard sayings, they said to him. And some of his followers started to leave him and not follow him. And Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, aren't you going to leave too? And Peter, this is one of Peter's shining moments. You know, we give him a lot of criticism because we see his, you know, spontaneous and, you know, anger and quick reaction kind of guy. This is one of his shining moments. He says, Lord, where are we going to go? For you alone have the words of life. whether they're hard or not. And I want you to know some scriptures that they'll be hard for Bill, but they're going to be maybe easy for Drew. And in another spot, that which was hard for Bill, Darren finds easy. Another spot, Michelle finds it challenging. Another spot, nobody knows it, but JR struggles because the Lord's speaking to him about something he's holding inside. So we look and we try to get godly counsel, or we try to really find out from other people how we can justifiably compromise and let it be okay and not mess with it. Thanks for laughing, Shirley. I'll take it as an amen. How do you and I respond to the word of the Lord God Almighty when you don't find it easy for your flesh? Or something you have justified to hang on to for a long time. And yet you go to church and you sense His presence and you maybe shed a tear, or you come to the altar, or you give in the offering, or you volunteer somewhere. I want you to know that's all good and that's right, and we want it to be fruitful, but none of it is compensation for where you and I try to disobey or work our way around to get our way and thinking we still appease God and therefore we're okay. None of that pays for it. It's not like you do all this and so you can slide on this. It still takes His blood to forgive us of that. But it takes us making good on His grace with the help of the Holy Spirit, who inspired the Word, gives us understanding, and is there to help you and I apply God's living Word to our life. To be the foundation of our life. The Word that transforms us so that we, day by day, become more and more in agreement with Him and who He is and His Word. So how do you and I respond to God's Word when we read it, when we hear the truth proclaimed by a fellow believer, whatever it is? Do you try to get both your way and God's? I want you to know if our desires are in the flesh, we will never get God on board. We've been designed to enjoy things in this life. He's allowed us to enjoy some earthly and carnal pleasures. Now, when I say carnal, I'm not saying it in the context of sin. But you get to enjoy the beauty of what He's created. You get to enjoy the fruit that comes up from the earth. We get to enjoy those kind of things. That when you're actually married, you can enjoy marital privileges. A healthy pleasure, the things of this life that He has given unto us. Instead of opening the box of things outside His timing or design. How do you respond when we hear God's holy, living Word addressed to you and I, for teaching us, for correcting us, sometimes rebuking us, training us in righteousness, that we would be fully equipped for all that we face in this life? And that He does it with great patience and careful instruction, because He actually loves you. Would you stand with me, please, all over this room? I want to encourage you to maybe make a fresh commitment to His Word, to read it, study it, to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Even the things you've read over and over, you think you understand that, Holy Spirit, is there something there I'm missing? Show me. I want to know you so well that when I face things in this life that I can't find those particular circumstances in the Scripture, I will be so filled with your Word and your Spirit and knowing you and knowing your voice that I will know what you would have when I face that circumstance or situation or predicament that I can't find in your Word. That we wouldn't pick and choose what we like or dislike, or what we feel strongly about because we have it mastered in our life. Therefore, everyone else should do it or not do it. Easy to preach that because you feel like you have it mastered. What if they proclaimed it with the same vengeance, not passion, vengeance to you where you don't have something mastered? You may not like the way a particular person tells you the Word of God or preaches or teaches or counsels you or is a friend to you, and you don't care for the way that they proclaimed it to you. And I can understand that, but it does not take away from the truth of what they shared. So you and I will have to grow up and look past the messenger and embrace the purity of the message. Would you bow your head, please, all over this room? Maybe where you stand today and this moment where you bow your head, you need to maybe ask forgiveness or make a fresh commitment to His Word. Don't make it out of compulsion or impulse, but out of a sincerity of what you sense the Holy Spirit speaking to you today. Maybe there's an area of life that, or a passage that you've been overlooking or sidestepping or trying to scheme around or whatever it is. Or a hard teaching of Jesus that you don't want to read that part. The Lord Almighty has provided His Word to be inspired to last through all time for you and I. Where else can you go? For Jesus alone, God's Word, the Holy Spirit, holds the words of life.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.